shout and give his glory.
And glory. Everybody, they're going to be singing at the top of their lungs. All right, go to Psalm 34 with me.
I wanted to bring the message
of comfort tonight. God's Word is our comfort, isn't it? And there's no more comfort to be found in all of God's Word than the Psalms, is it? Psalm, David. We can relate to the things that David went through. The Lord had him go through them for our sake. There's a story behind this, and you need to know it. It'll make it more of a blessing to you. If you notice, right under the Psalm 34, it says a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, the king of Gath, who drove him away and he departed. And that's when he went down to the cave of Adullam. And he was there pretty much alone until 400 men finally came to him. That's a wonderful message. But David, in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel is that story. David, he's afraid of Saul. He's deathly afraid of Saul. Now the Lord cut off the giant's head through David. And he was without fear at that time. But now he's afraid. And he ran and he went to Nob, first of all, this place where the priests were, you know. And he lied while he was there. And the fear of man will cause all sorts of, bring a snare and cause all sorts of bad behavior on our part. Lies breed lies. He lied to the priest there. The priest gave him bread to eat, showbread. All right? And then David said, "Do you have a sword?" And the priest said, "Yes, it's in here right with the linen ephod." And it's the sword, and he reminded him, it's the sword that you used to slay the giant. And David said, "Well, give it to me." And he said, "There's none like it." And that's a good story. But now David just ate the bread. He was reminded of what the Lord did for him, through him, with that sword. He has a sword in his hand, his bread, his belly full of bread. He's still scared. He's running. You'd think his conscience would have smitten him by then. Not yet. He's got to be real broken. Well, then he ran to, fled to the land of the enemy. He fled to Gath. The Philistine fled there. And he sought refuge with an evil king, Achish, Abimelech. You know, in Psalm 33, look across the page, Psalm 33, verse 16, he said, "There's no king saved by the multitude of hosts, a mighty man not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his strength. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He's our help and our shield." When did he write that? I don't think he just wrote it, or else he just quickly forgot it, didn't he? He's running, he's scared. And he went to Gath, which represents the world. And he listened, and while he was there, he was listening. The servants of the king were saying, "That's David." That's David. That's him. He overheard them talking. Now he's really scared. And that's what will happen to us if we don't walk according to the truth. If we are afraid, the fear of man will bring a snare. If we run to the world looking for refuge, it'll only cause us more despair and more trouble. And you know what we'll end up doing? Acting like we don't believe God at all. And that's what David did. He changed his behavior. He was so scared. He changed his behavior and acted like a crazy man. David. Can you believe that? And the Achish and all of them were laughing at him.
He brought great reproach on the Lord, and himself, his family, and his brothers and sisters, and this is the future king. Imagine that.
Every man at his best state is altogether mad at him. You know, salvation is of the Lord. How much of it? All of it. From start to finish. If he doesn't keep us, we'll fall. David slew the giant. Now he's scared to death. He's running scared. He acts like he doesn't believe God at all. He acts like a crazy man. Anybody? All of us. At one time or another. So he escapes to the cave, a cleft of the rock. He ends up in the cleft of the rock. And he's alone. And while he's alone, I can't help but think his heart has smitten him. His heart is broken. His heart is contrite. He feels so ashamed. And he started calling. He started praying, didn't he? Lord, forgive me. How could I act like that? And what the Lord did was spared him. And the Lord and he sent 400 men. And that's another story. 400 men. Now, would you follow a man like that? Would you follow a man that acted like that? 400 men did. Why? Because they can relate. David didn't always act like that, thank God. Sometimes, most of the time he was full of faith, you know. But throughout the Psalms, and this is why we like the Psalm. He's human. He's a sinner. He's overcome often by these fears and all that. Like Psalm 56, what time I'm afraid. He was afraid. And you would be too if you were faced with the foes that he was, hand-to-hand combat, and everybody in around you wanted you dead and everybody else dead. So he wrote this song while he's sitting in that cave. I think it's before the 400 men came. He's alone. The Lord heard him. He cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard him. He felt better. And he wrote this song. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. From here on out, he's saying, I'm not going to talk about anything I am or ever have done or ever will do. I'm nothing. Look what I have done. Look at me. Boasting excluded. Pride I base. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That's what David said. If I'm going to boast, my more glory is going to be in the Lord. He's the one that holds me up. The humble shall hear. God's people hear this. They'll be glad. Won't you? I'm sorry that David acted like that, but in a sense, I'm not. In a sense, I'm glad. It gives me some hope. We've all played the fool. We might yet play the fool. We've all acted like we don't believe God. We've all been overcome by fears, and we might yet do that. I hope not. We ought to learn from this, but we might. No telling. Well, the humble shall hear. Humble means those that don't, you know, aren't able, not able to do anything. They'll hear and be glad. I love Psalm 119 where David said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Those that fear thee will be glad when they see me. In other words, you can relate to another fellow sinner, can't you? You can relate to a fellow weak person, believer. Oh, it says, magnify the Lord with me. Verse 3, let us exalt his name together. Are you weak? Are you fearful? Are you sinful? Are you poor and needy? And are you? Oh, that's who the Lord came for. That's who the Lord saved. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You were just a moment ago. You're all singing those songs. Say, sinner, that's you. Will you meet me? Let us exalt his name together. My name's not anywhere around here, and I don't want it to be. George Whitefield one time said, let the name of George Whitefield perish from the earth. Let the name of Jesus Christ be praised. Nobody needs to know my name or your name, do they? Men need to know his name.
and fear His name. David said, I sought the Lord. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. What did he seek for? Every day we seek for the same thing, don't we? Mercy, grace to help in time of need, wisdom, pardon, forgiveness of sins. Kept, be kept, led, lead us, guide us, direct us, restrain us, constrain us, give us, help us. I sought the Lord and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They, the humble, those that exalt His name, look to Him. They look to Him, and it says they were lightened, verse 5. They were lightened. That means they had a burden, and it was lifted. They cast their care upon Him. Their burden rolled their burden on them. They were lightened. I tell you what else that word lightened means, so I looked it up. It's used two or three times in turn to Jeremiah 31 real quick. Jeremiah 31. It's used, I love to look up words. The best word is given to us generally in the King James Version, but looking them up sometimes, it just keeps blossoming. But Jeremiah 31, the word means, and our margin said it, they flowed unto Him. Flowed unto Him. Look at Jeremiah 31, verses 10 through 12. Like, oh yeah, hear the word of the Lord, ye nations, and declare it in the isles. Afar off, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, shall flow together. There's the word. Flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Wheat, wine, oil, young of the flock, the herd, his soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. Don't you like that? They'll flow unto him. And their faces, verse 5 in our text, their faces were not ashamed. Do you know how ashamed David was? We all do. We felt it. But you look to him. You look into the face. He says, look unto me, didn't he? And be ye saved. Who? Sinners. Don't you love the story of Joseph and his brethren? You ever get tired of hearing that? When they found out it was Joseph on the throne, oh, it says they were afraid. They were greatly afraid of Joseph. Their hearts were, all right. And he said, and he couldn't refrain himself. He said, come near. I'm Joseph, your brother. Come near. They were afraid he's going to kill them. No, he's going to hug them. He said, come near. Don't you know Kelly, Eli, or Simeon, Reuben, Joseph? Oh, Joseph. I'm sorry. He said, look up. Look up. God did this. God sent me before you to say much. And he fell on their necks. All of them. Fell on Benjamin first, and he fell on all of them and hugged them and kissed them all. Look unto me, and be saved. You won't be ashamed. You look into the face of pure mercy, pure love, pure grace, pure forgiveness. See, he's not God. He's God. He's not a man. Oh, David. Then David says, and maybe this is the title of the message, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. I think David is saying, this poor, pitiful excuse for a man. I used to think I was a man. Now I know I'm a worm. I'm a nothing. I'm a flea. I'm a dog. I'm nothing. I can't do anything without him. I'm no man. Jesus Christ is the man.
That's right.
Captain? I'm no captain. I'm a poor excuse for a believer. That's what David said. This poor man cried unto the Lord. You won't cry unto the Lord. You really won't pray unto the Lord until you find out you're poor and needy. You know that? The first thing the Lord said in the blessings on the Sermon on the Mount was what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't need Christ if you're not poor. You don't need His righteousness if you've got one. You don't need forgiveness if you're not a sinner. You don't need His strength if you're not weak. You don't need His wisdom if you're not ignorant. But boy, if you are, He said, look unto me. And He's made unto us. And He quoted, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, forgiveness. Now, according as it's written, may He that glory, glory in the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. David's saying, if you'll hear me, I'm just sure He'll hear you. You remember that story, those two preachers together, it was William Law and one of the other, I forget. But the fellow came in all excited, and he said, Brother Law, I think it's William Law. Maybe in William J. That's who it was. He came in and said, Brother J, did you hear the Lord saved old John Smith? He was a notorious sinner. Did you hear that? The Lord saved old John Smith. And he said, Brother William, I'll never despair of the Lord saving anybody since He saved old John Smith. William J. said, Brother, I'll never despair since He saved me. And that's what David said. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. You know that story over in 2 Kings 6, don't you? Turn there. I never get tired of reading it. Never get tired of preaching it. Never get tired of telling you to read it. 2 Kings 6, you remember this? Elisha and his servant. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear Him. That's the Spirit of God, and that's actual angels. But we can't see them. We said they're camped around it, surrounded it. 2 Kings 6, servant of Elisha, verse 15, rose up early, went out to get some wood or water or something. And a host of Syrians compassed the city with horses and chariot. That's like looking around the world, isn't it? All our enemies, all the troubles all around. Oh, no. And he came in and said, alas, my master, how shall we do? I tell you what you're going to do. Nothing. Here's what you do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what the preacher told Jehoshaphat. And here's what Elisha said. He answered, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. We sing that song all the time. Open mine eyes that I may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about one man. And Elisha represents our Lord, and we're with Him. Remember when our Lord in the garden told Peter, put up your sword. He said, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels right now? Brother Ed read Psalm 27 tonight. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid of? But like David, we do, and we need to be reminded, don't we? Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Somebody asked me about that, what the difference, what taste means there. Well, it means what it said. You know, you come here tonight, and I'm not going to give you a dissertation on superlapsarianism opposed to infralapsarianism, or the state of the world in the antediluvian period, or the history of the Jews, and that's just going to your head, and it's not going to help you at all. We need to eat this food. Now, our Lord said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. But he that does, what's that mean? It means that you're hungry and you're thirsty for Him, for truth, for Christ. righteousness. And you come here hungry and thirsty, and you, Lord, I need you not to, I don't need you to talk to my head. I need you to speak to my heart. These things need to go down deep in the recess of my soul. I need to feed on this. I need to gather strength from it. I need to taste. Isn't grace taste wonderful? Don't you love the taste of it? The taste of sovereign grace. You ever, the Lord ever, and it's not an acquired taste. It's given. The Lord gives you a taste for sovereign grace. You won't want anything else. You won't want any of these dissertations or whatever. The people would hear the scribes, and then they heard the Lord. They said, that's what we need. Common people heard him gladly. They ate this like bread, like sheep in pasture. And they said, he speaks as one having authority, not like scribes. We fall asleep when they pray. They don't help anybody. They didn't know the Lord. They talk about him, not preaching him. There's a difference. Well, God's people feed on him. When you go to a restaurant, and Mandy and I went to one last night, and I had heard that they had good salmon, and I love salmon. I can't get enough salmon. And I heard they had good salmon. Well, I didn't read a paper on salmon. And I looked at the menu, and it sounded real good. You know, ooh, look at that. Look at this. It's fixed a certain way with garlic and all this. And it looked like, I said, bring that to my table. And I ate it. Oh. Maybe I went on and on, didn't I? And if you, really, if you eat it yourself, you can't, words not good enough. Not good enough. And that's the thing, is we're all going to have to taste ourselves. I can't tell you what grace tastes like. The Lord's going to give you a taste for it. He's about to make you eat it like a hungry man. Why do we come here? Why do we come here? Because it's Wednesday night? Because it's Sunday? Huh? Because we're supposed to? Hungry. Thirsty. What are we going to eat? Jesus Christ. That's what sheep eat on. They feed on Him. If we don't, you don't have life. You don't know Him. If you need, if you want anything else, if you want to hear anything else, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. Oh, taste. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? How gracious has He been to you? Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, blessed is the man, the woman that trusts in Him. Brothers and sisters. We need to trust Him. Don't just say we trust Him. We need to trust Him. We need to cast all our care on Him. We really need. Let me ask you, how often do you really live by faith? And that means going against something you see in the face of some danger or face of what the world is saying, and going against that according to God's Word. Or being totally dependent on the Lord, regardless of what you're hearing otherwise. That's faith. Like Hebrews 11, the whole people, how often do we really live by faith? Oh, bless. If we'll trust Him, if we'll trust Him, look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord. You won't trust Him if you don't fear Him. Now, I know that sounds like, it may be confusing to somebody, but you know what it means. Fear means a profound awe some understanding of just how powerful He is. Just how sovereign He is. He speaks and it's done. It's all He has to do is speak. He's ordered all things and sure. Everything's in His hand. Now that produces fear, but yet, if you know Him and if you come to Him, you call on Him, He's revealed Himself to you, the first thing He says is fear. Those disciples, when they finally found out who Jesus was, when they saw Him, when he filled their nets full of fish, remember what Simon Peter did? He hit his knees and said, oh, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He was in the presence of power, God, and he feared and trembled. Fear not. Those that fear Him He says, fear not. Now trust me. And we'll never lose that, because it'll make you fear sinning against Him. It'll make you fear bringing reproach upon Him. And it won't. And the more you fear Him, the less you'll fear anybody or anything else. You won't. And you know, He is doing all things. He's all powerful. And whom shall I fear? Of what shall I be afraid? The Lord is mine. Oh, blessed are those that fear. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. Well, there's no want, verse 9, there's no want. There's not going to be any lack to them that fear Him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. Anything. Now, God the Father provides us everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything we need. We're complete in Him. We're not going to lack anything. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our prophet, priest, king. He's our Messiah. He's our bread, our food, our father, our mother, our friend, our redeemer, our captain, our covenant head. Name something. He's all. Those that fear Him, He said. The young lions, He said in verse 10, the young lions do lack. They suffer hunger. As strong as they are, they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. And notice the thing is in italic. Because we shall not want any good. Good word. Good fellowship. Come, ye children. Verse 11. David says, come, ye children. Remember the Lord, what the Lord said we need to become? And little children. I will hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. I need to know, David. And I just tried to say it, and I couldn't, because he's too great and glorious, and we can't fear Him like we just don't know. What man is he that, he said, I'll teach you that. What man is he? What woman is she that desireth life? Remember, Pilgrim Progress, life, eternal life. I need life. I want life. And Christ is our life. It's not just wanting to be saved or wanting to go to heaven. It's Him. It's Christ. He's our life. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many good days that he may see good? And Peter said these very things, didn't it? Keep thy tongue. Here's where you start. Keep your tongue from evil. David, how did his trouble start? He started lying. Protect himself. You don't have to do that. Why? Because the Lord's our shield. He's our protector. Keep thy tongue from evil. Oh. And thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. What's that? Well, what do you mean, what's that? Why do we have to qualify that? Evil is evil. He says, depart from it. Do good. What's that? What do you mean, what's that? Why do we have to qualify that? Whatever He says, Mary said, do it. Do good. Keep His commandments. Well, I can't. We'll do it anyway. Pursue it. Verse 14. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace. That's Him. He is our peace. Seek Him and seek to be a peacemaker like Him. We seek Christ and we seek Christ's likeness. And pursue it. Go after it. Give diligence to make your call and election sure. Go after Him. Some men came to the Lord one time and He said, what seek ye? Remember that? What are you looking for? They said, where you dwell. He says, come on. And they went in and dwelt with Him. You seek the Lord, you'll find Him. You'll find Him. Read on. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Now you think for a minute David thinks he's righteous because of something he'd done? Oh, come on now. What did he just do? No. Read Psalm 71. Huh? Over and over, John, you know that psalm. Over and over, he said, I'll speak mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Well, here I am. You? Two, three, four, five. He's made unto us righteous. The righteous are those that trust in Him. The righteous are those that are in Christ, Christ in them. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Oh, He sees everybody. But His eyes of mercy and love and grace and kindness and tenderness and forgiveness is upon His people. His ears are open unto their cry. Always. Always. The face of the Lord, verse 16, is against them that do evil. Cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry. Now look at this. We've looked at this many times. Right here it says the righteous cry, and here it delivered them. And down and on down it talks about the righteous being Him. Which is it? It's both. You remember Jeremiah said, this is His name, that He'll be called Jehovah Tsidkenah. And then over on later in Jeremiah it says, this is her name. Jehovah Tsidkenah. We bear His name. But the righteous, verse 17, those that trust in Christ, they cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. I've gotten in a lot of trouble all my life. And there's going to be more trouble coming. The Lord has delivered me up to this point out of all my troubles. Well, that's not all my troubles. I've got more coming. Brother Donnie Bell once said, people, there are three kind of troubles they worry about. Troubles they used to have, troubles they are having, and troubles they expect to have. We can't do anything about the troubles you did have. And right now, then don't worry about tomorrow. Because the Lord is going to deliver us out of all of them. Read Psalm 107. Isn't that one of your favorites? Psalm 107, oh my, it says they cried. They got in trouble. It was three out of four times it was their fault. It's completely their fault. Talking about Israel. Their fault. And it says the Lord heard them. He healed them, sent His word and healed them. Delivered them out of all their trouble. And the last troubles the Lord sent to try them. His troubles. Sickness, all that. He delivered them out of that. He delivered your husband out of those troubles. He's completely delivered. No more trouble. No more trouble. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more pain. None. Zero. While we're left here in trouble. But the Lord's going to deliver us out of all of them. All of them. So I'd like to tell you, don't fear. Oh, my. Read on. It says, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Broken heart, contrite heart, or spirit is the opposite of proud, isn't it? Pride. It's hard to think of sin as being good in our life, but I tell you, this is what it serves. It's to humble us and break us and keep reminding us what we are and keep us calling on the Lord. We probably wouldn't if we didn't fall. A broken heart over sin. A contrite spirit over sin. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Verse 19. Many. Our Lord said, through much tribulation you'll enter the kingdom. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now that was Christ, Him. We have a high priest who's touched with the feet of our burden. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But He was tempted. Really, very really, tempted in all points like as we are. And He knows our frame. He knows. We can't resist on our own. He could. We can't. He knows that. He's the one that said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh. He's the one that said that when the disciples were asleep for sorrow. In the garden, they were asleep for sorrow. And He'd been telling them all along what's going to happen. They just didn't hear it.
He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. But when I'm weak, he's strong. The Lord delivereth him out of them all, and he delivers us in him out of them. He keepeth, what's this doing here, verse 20? He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. What's that doing there? Is that out of place? He's the righteous one. Surely everyone in here knows why the lamb was not to be cut up in pieces. It was to be burnt, a whole lamb. The whole lamb was to be burnt off, not cut up. Because Christ is not going to lose one member of his body. Not one bone broken. Mm-mm. Heart, yeah, but not the little toe. You may think, I'm just a little toe. Well, you're not going to be cut off. He's going to keep you. Not one of them broken. Evil, let me quit. Evil shall slay the wicked. They overcome by it. And the evil one, they're of their father, the devil. And they that hate the righteous, they that hate Christ, hate his people, shall be desolate, guilty, cut off, declared unjust, cast in the lake of fire, cut off, desolate. But the Lord, now the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant. You're redeemed, you're bought without money. But you're bought with a precious blood of the Lamb. And God's going to have, he's going to keep what he spent his blood on. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Do we not serve his cause? Do we not serve his glory? That's what we're doing here. Nothing else. I'm not trying to build big buildings. We're trying to programs and or try to have fun and for family and all that. We don't do that at all. That's not what the church is about. There's no true church that does those sort of things. We're here to serve our Lord's honor and glory in his name. We're here to preach the gospel. That's what the church is all about. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. Serve him, his glory, his name, his honor, his kingdom. And so he says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And this is maybe my favorite line in all the Bible. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Not one single person that really looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, that trusts him, that says, Lord, I'm weak, I'm vile, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I act like a fool, I act like I don't know you, I act like I don't love you, but Lord, please, would you have mercy on me? Not one, he said, will be cut off. Not one will be left to themselves. Not one. When he comes, he's going to come for every one of us. Every little toe is coming with the rest of the body. Bless the Lord. All right, stand with me. Father in heaven, thank you for Psalm 34. Thank you. Thank you for all the Psalms. Thank you for all the Word from Genesis to Revelation. It's your Word. It's one Word. It's one truth. It speaks of our one Lord, one salvation, one faith, one hope of our calling. And our hope is Christ. So we look to him. And you've promised not one single person that looks to him, trust in him, will be desolate. And we believe you. We take you at your word. But Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we don't trust you. Forgive us when we fear. Forgive us when we act a fool. Forgive us, Lord. Don't let it happen again. Lord, you can keep it from happening again. Please, don't let us bring reproach on you. Let us trust you fully and live for thy glory and thy honor. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.